you believe it's another Sabbath? Seems like we just had one 7 days ago. And somebody tell me why synagogue always is at the same time the Niners are playing. It's so inconvenient. Well, there's the men, as they always are, sitting over on that side. They always sit together, and they're arguing like usual about the things that old men argue about. And over here, we've got the ladies, and they're whispering. It looks like they're just greeting each other. Wait a minute. I think that's Matthew, and that guy John and Peter. Those are disciples of that rabbi. I wonder what they're doing here. You know, I just wish that, I don't know, something could happen at synagogue. I wish it could just, it's this every time, it's this old boring guy with a big beard gets up and he talks blah, 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 way over the time that he's allotted. I just wish something could happen. I wish something could just kind of wake us up, something that would stir in my heart and my soul. As usual, Jesus entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day. In this particular Sabbath, he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He then rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, Today, as you listen, this scripture has been fulfilled. Today, the scripture has been fulfilled. Thank you, Matt. I don't know if there are amens in that synagogue those 2,000 years ago, but I like to imagine there's a 16-year-old boy that's lamenting that he's not on his Xbox and he's sitting in synagogue with the men listening to someone, wishing something extraordinary, something out of the ordinary would happen, something to wake up the people of God. And that day it did. The Messiah was here. He had come, he had taken on human form, and now he was a young man, and he stood up and he read from the scroll that was handed to him, the writings of Isaiah the prophet. And when he sat down, he said, today, this is happening. Isn't there something exciting about today? Yeah. Are you excited about Christmas morning? Yeah. Today, it's been coming forever. Right, kids? It's like, when's it going to get here? I'm excited about Christmas Eve, 4 o'clock, right here. I hope you all join us as we continue to worship the baby in the manger, our Savior. But there's something powerful about today. Ever been on a trip? And you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait. Anybody get married? Anybody remember? Honey, do you remember? Oh, she's not even listening. Wow, okay. Matt said I'll pay for that one. I probably will. I love you. I do remember that day. In fact, it was right here. The stage looks different, but it was right here. And I remember waking up that morning super excited, super nervous, just because the day is here. It's happened. That's going to happen to us Christmas morning. What I ask God to do in me and us this morning as we look forward to Christmas is that we would see today in a new light, that he has come. He came.
Amen.
Okay. Don't leave me up here all by myself. He came in that manger. And on this day in Capernaum, or this day in the synagogue, he said, today it's fulfilled. God has kept his promise. We have been looking at the faithful servant in the book of Isaiah. We've seen these incredible glimpses, these pictures, these portraits, if you will, of the Father sending the Son and the Spirit empowering the Son, the faithful servant, to accomplish God's redemptive plan. And Christmas morning, yeah, I know it probably wasn't December 24th, but that moment where that young girl, Mary, gave birth and a baby was laid in the manger, today that was unfolding. What had been promised for before the foundations of the earth had been put into place, it was promised. Do you remember Genesis chapter 3? After the fall, after sin had entered into God's creation, and God is he kills a lamb and he provides for them and their sin, and he puts clothes on them from the lamb skin, and he says, you know, one day, he says, yeah, Satan will bruise the heel of mankind. Satan has really done a number on my creation, his part in bringing sin into the world. But do you remember what he said next? One day, the seed of a woman, a child will be born to a woman that will crush the head of Satan. Friends, today, that morning, that whatever time it was, that moment, we don't know if it was at night, right? The star was later I know we get our theology from Christmas cards and Christmas songs, but if we get our theology from the Bible, we don't know. We just know that there was an actual moment in human history where a woman gave birth to a child that had no human father. He had the Holy Spirit as a father and Mary as a mother. And today, remember the message to the shepherds? Today, a Savior has been born for you. Would you look with me one last time in 2024 at the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. One more glimpse in our journey. And if you have forgotten, our focus for 2024 has been as for me in this house. And we decided that can you believe we're coming to the end? This is our last Sunday morning gathering in 2024. Wow, where'd it go? We decided, you know what, we need to spend a year focusing on what it means to be a servant. Because some things have happened over the last couple of years. One of them being, anybody else lamenting the loss of customer service? It's like, man, it's disappeared, right? This idea, you know, sidetrack. So I won't go down that road. But what about the people of God? Could it be that we also have kind of come into this place where we kind of expect people to serve us, and we've thought maybe we've forgotten what it means to be a servant. And so we've walked through the first 10 chapters of the Gospel of Mark. Live to serve, and we've looked at Jesus. We'll look at the second half next year. Go the distance. We'll see Jesus go to the cross, and he's committed to fulfilling the Father's will. But we've looked this year, as for me, and you remember what that says, right? And from Joshua, as for me in my house, for me in this house, we will serve the Lord. And so we've come in the last couple of months to Isaiah, the faithful servant, the suffering servant, the obedient servant. We've looked at pictures of Jesus, and I want us to look at one more together as we prepare for the upcoming days. May today be the day that you experience God's move in your life. If you're a child of God, may he open up your eyes in a way that you've never seen before. If you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ, Andy prayed for it this morning. You came into our gathering and you said, I don't know. I don't know about this Jesus. Or I'm not sure if he's real. He cares about me, knows me, loves me. I pray that today would be the day that your eyes are open to see how deeply you are loved by him. And that this baby in the manger is so much more than Christmas songs and decorations at the mall and lights on the house and the beautiful trees and all the amazing things that we do. It's so much more than that. Today, may today be the day that we see him clearly. So in Isaiah chapter 49, and Matt and Jeff the last couple weeks have given us some of the context of Isaiah. The first 39 chapters are about judgment and God, the consequences on their sin, and then 40 through the end is about his mercy and his grace. And yeah, there's some tough stuff in there, and as Jeff pointed out last week, there's some jarring right hands and left turns and that kind of thing. But God is wanting to make it abundantly clear to his creation, his grace and his mercy, his patience, his love for this broken, messed up world of which we are a part. And now says the Lord, verse 5 of chapter 49, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him so that Israel might be gathered to him. Remember Babylon? Remember the destruction? All that? But do you also remember the restoration and the rebuilding? This servant is being sent to bring Jacob back to him so that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. He says, it is not enough for you to be a servant raising up the tribes of Jacob and restoring the protected ones, the ones that are watched over, literally, of Israel. Jehovah watching over Israel. But he says, that's not the whole mission for my servant. You ready for the rest of it? Are you excited? Are you paying attention? I will also make you a light for the nations, to be my salvation to the ends of the earth. We kind of fall in the ends of the earth, don't we? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. California feels like the ends of the earth sometimes, doesn't it? Yeah. I love California. Don't get me wrong. I'm grateful to be born and raised here, but boy, sometimes it feels like the end of the earth. This is what the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, His Holy One, says to the one who is despised, to the one abhorred by people, to a servant of rulers. Do you see glimpses of Jesus there in His mission on earth? Kings will see and stand up, and princes will bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and He has chosen you. This is what the Lord says, I will answer you in a time of favor, and I will help you in the day of salvation. I will keep you. And I will appoint you to be a covenant, to be a covenant. Isn't that an interesting picture? Remember when He said, this blood, this is my body which is broken for you. This cup is my blood. Drink, this is the new covenant. Jesus Himself is the heart. He's the essence of God's new covenant. If you open up your Bible and Matthew, if you go back a page, it'll say the New Testament. I want it to say the new covenant because that's what the New Testament represents, unpacks and reveals. Jesus will be a covenant for the people to restore the land, to make them possess the desolate inheritances, all the destruction, the consequences of sin, and saying to the prisoners, come out, and to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They will feed along the pathways. There'll be food available on the sides of the path, and their pastures will be on all the barren heights. God will do some amazing restoration. They will not hunger or thirst. The scorching heat or sun will not strike them. They'll have protection and shelter. For their compassionate one, capital O, will guide them and lead them to springs of water. Now unpack with me just a second, or let's just meditate a little bit on these words. And I have four things that I want us to kind of grab a hold of. And I know not everybody is note takers. We have notes. Piece of paper, if you're old school and you want a piece of paper, Cindy, and a pen, you know, I love that, that's awesome. But we also have this technology, right? You have phone, and on your phone, most of the phones have an app called Notes. Take some notes. Or if you're lazy, and we'll know who you are because we'll see you do this, just lift your phone up and take a picture of the screen. Go ahead, I want to see who's going to, no. But please, feel free to do that. Do something to capture whatever it is that God gives you this morning. So that today can be the day that our eyes are opened. My voice is not important. I pray my voice just fades away. I pray that I diminish and He increases because that's who we need to hear. We need to hear. And I know Him intimately to be a God who speaks. He speaks in boring moments in synagogue. He speaks to us. The question is, am I listening? And part of listening is taking it down and saying, okay, I got this. Now, God, use this in my life through these coming days and hours. Are you with me? Okay. I see some angry faces and some smiling faces. I heard an amen. Thank you. The baby in the manger came to restore. There are just four little pictures. The baby in the manger came. That baby came to restore. Did you hear the words of Jehovah? Jesus, I'm going to send you. I want you to bring back my children. I want you to bring them back. I want you to restore them. Do you see? Do you hear the heart of God, Almighty God? Had He judged them? Yes, He had. Because He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. But all through the prophets, you see this. And if you don't know God, you're going to think He's schizophrenic. He's not schizophrenic. He is consistent. He is perfectly holy and just. And He is full of grace and mercy and love. And they're not incompatible. Sometimes we think they are. How can a good God, how can a holy God? Because He's holy and just and righteous. He's faithful. He's immutable. And He is full of mercy. They're new. His mercy is new every morning. Oh, would today be the day that you grab a hold of God's mercy? Maybe for the first time. The baby in the manger came to restore what sin had destroyed. The sin of God's people, their rebellion, their stiff-necked. He gave them a nickname. You have, I don't know if you've ever had kids. I had a kid. She's not here, I don't think. Number two, this will go out on the internet. Number two, where I had to, look at me, and she wanted to look everywhere else. Yes, they were rebellious, broken people. And yet, chapters 40 to the end, chapter 66, he is speaking of restoration. And Jesus was sent. Let's never forget this. Jesus was sent to restore his chosen people into fellowship with their Creator, with their Yahweh. Because that's who God is. This baby in the manger came to restore. Matthew 23, Jerusalem. This is Jesus speaking. We're going to see this next year as we move through the rest of Mark. He shows up Jerusalem, and in Matthew, he records it like this. This is Jesus speaking. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Listen to this. She who kills the prophets and stones those who sent to her. There's no perspective like Jesus as he reflects on what God has done for the people of Israel. And you and I, we don't even have memorized, but he knows them intimately. Micah and Malachi and Habakkuk and every single one of those prophets, all the ones that are not named, that God had sent to his people. Jonah, going to Nineveh. God had just over and over sent people to creation to say, this is who I am and this is what I have for you. Please turn to me. And he says, this city, as he was about to enter it, you kill them, you stone them. Oh, how I wanted to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. You ever seen that? I have a video that somebody sent me. I have friends that are farmers. And then she sent me a picture of this. And it's so amazing. It's so amazing to me that Jesus, I wanted him to go, I'm an eagle, No, I'm a chicken, But the picture, there's no picture like that of a chicken. And what a hen will do to protect her children. And the sound that she makes to call them when there's danger. Jesus says, oh, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, all through history, the Egyptians, I just have always wanted just to protect you. And you were not willing. What's the takeaway? Jesus is bearing his soul. He's bearing his heart. He's revealing why he came. Because in a very short time, he's going to be nailed to a cross. Willingly. Exodus chapter 19. Let's go to the old covenant. Now, if you will listen to me and carefully keep my covenant, you will be my own possession out of all the peoples. Who is that? That's Israel. That's the Jews. That's the descendants of Abraham. Although the earth, all the earth is mine. So before you freak out, wait a minute, what about me? All of us belong to him. And you will be my kingdom of priests and my holy nation. God's going to say those words later to another group of people. You are my priests. You are a holy people. Do you remember who he said that to? Take a look around. Take a look around. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he'll say that to us. Well, he has now. See, the baby in the manger came to restore what sin had destroyed. And as we move through these four pictures, here's my ask. And I had the privilege of being able to do this ahead of time over the course of the last couple of weeks. And I invite you to do the same this morning. As you see these statements, and here's the first one, the baby in the manger came to restore. What needs to be restored in your life? Don't answer out loud, but this is a moment to write down some things. Don't miss this moment. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now and saying, here's what you have destroyed, and I want to restore it. Here's what others have destroyed, and I want to restore it. Are you tracking with me? Sometimes it's the choices of others. Sometimes it's our own choices. But isn't it amazing that it doesn't matter to God? He just wants to restore it. He wants us to bring it to him. The baby in the manger came to restore. Number two, the baby in the manger came to reveal. What did he come to reveal? If we jump into the Gospels, we see Jesus over and over and over. I've not come for my own glory. I've come to show you the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What I love in this text, and Jesus will use this phrase too, I will make you a light for the nations. I think we take light for granted. I know I do sometimes. I have the honor, the privilege of traveling to other parts of the world. And this year I was in a place called South Sudan. And we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in South Sudan because it's tough. I have never experienced darkness like I did in that because there's intermittent electricity and there's solar stuff, and you know, there's no infrastructure that's stable. And there were moments where in the middle of the night, I'm laying on this strange bed with another pastor who will go nameless snoring across the room. If he watches this, he knows who he is. I'm sure I was snoring equally as well. In a mosquito net on the other side of the world in complete darkness. And more than anything, you know what I wanted? Light. What'd you say? My bed. My bed, ice, and my wife. Not in that order. Jesus, the baby in the manger, came to bring us light. He came to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. There is a physical darkness, friends, and there is a spiritual darkness. And I don't, either one, we find ourselves desperate if we can't find light physically or spiritually. Would you agree? It's who we are. It's probably the moment that we most clearly see our limitations, our finiteness. I've told stories in the past of kicking things in the dark. I have a bed, metal bed, and it's got those four legs. Well, the two out on the ends are the ones of the nemesis. And in the middle of the night, I wake up and I, you know, need to go use the little boy's room. And in the middle of the night, you know, I'm not going to wake up my wife. I'm dark. I got this. I've done this 1,000 times. I know the layout of my room. And how often do I crash? And it's always the same toe, too. That's one of my questions for God. The same toe that buckles and snaps into that metal post. Ah! If I just had some light. It's far more serious to be in the dark spiritually and not know that there's a God who gave his son to come and take our place. There's a darkness that you don't know the baby in the manger is actually much more than a Christmas card. It's actually the creator in human form in being born that way, entering our world in those set of circumstances by choice. And that he'll grow up and he will go to the cross and he will provide life for me, salvation for me. The baby in the manger came to reveal the truth. You remember Jesus in John 14, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Isaiah 45, I am Yahweh and there is no other. Amen? Okay. You guys are learning. You're just a little slow, but you're learning. 2025, we're going to set some goals. I am Yahweh and there is no other. There is no God but me. Oh, good. You're already there. I will strengthen you, though you do not know me, so that all may know from the rising of the sun to the setting. Now, why is he saying that? He's saying all around the earth. Every place that the sun rises and the sun sets, all around the world, from the rising of the sun to the setting, that there is no one but me. There's one God, and it's me. I am Yahweh, and there is no other. I form light. Listen, I love this. I form light. He's the creator of light and darkness. Who created the night? God did. Do you see that he's the creator of everything? He's sovereign over everything. I make success. I create disaster. I, Yahweh, do all these things. And Jesus came to reveal that to us so that the world could know who God is. Romans 15, for I say that the Messiah became a servant of all the circumcised on behalf of God's truth. There's the restoration of Jacob. To confirm the promises to the fathers. Had God made promises to Israel? He had. He made a promise that a descendant of David is going to sit on a throne on this earth. Has that happened yet? Will it happen? Thank you. We got one. I got some yeses. I'll give you credit. For I say that the Messiah became a servant of the circumcised on behalf of God's truth to confirm the promises to the fathers, and so that Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. That we would know about the mercy of God. That we would know that that baby in a manger born in a little town called Bethlehem was so much more than just a baby born to a young couple having to travel for a census. It's so much more than that. That the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy as it is written. Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and I will sing psalms to your name. The baby in the manger came to reveal who God is. And one more, Romans 3. Or is God for Jews only? Is he not only for Gentiles? Yes, for Gentiles too. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Yeah, praise God. The baby in the manger came to reveal. Number three, the baby in the manger came to redeem. We know this word redeem, this idea that something has been lost and it needs to be brought back. It needs to be purchased. It belongs to someone else. You know what I'm talking about? Somehow, what was mine now belongs to somebody else. And an opportunity comes where that can be mine again, but I'm gonna have to buy it back. I'm gonna have to pay a price. It's kind of crazy, don't you think? Yeah. That I gotta buy something that's mine, but you know, I really want it. I really want it back. I lost a pair of golf pants. Bright green, glow in the dark, I get it. That disappeared in the laundry one day, 35 years ago. Still a mystery. Still denying. She hated them. They were super comfortable. I never got lost on the golf course. Everybody knew right what hole I was at. I really want those back. I go to a garage sale, and there they are. They're in a garage sale. No, this is pretend. And I go, oh, how much? Oh, $50. $50? Are you kidding? Oh, man, I really want those. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll give them to you, Kurt, for all you got. All right. Without hesitation, I give them everything I got. Why would I do that? Because I love those pants and I really want those pants back. Ha, ha, ha. Not funny that God loves us so much and sin has taken us and captured us and we now serve sin as our master. But that's not the end of the, that's not an amen to the end, right? The amen is that he was willing to pay the price to purchase me back. Some days I feel like I'm about as worthless as those pair of pants, and yet he loves me and has redeemed me. And the heart of redemption, the plan of redemption is in this text. It's inseparable from the faithful servant. This is what the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, his Holy One, says. He is the Redeemer. God is a Redeemer. That's what he does. That's who he is. And he's all about salvation. He is a God who has provided salvation. Look at Isaiah chapter 6, verse 61, verse 3. To provide for those who mourn in Zion. We looked at these verses recently. To give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, festive oil instead of mourning, and splendid clothes instead of despair. And they will be called righteous tree planted by the Lord to glorify him. Oak trees rooted, planted by God to display glory, the splendor of who he is and what he's done. The baby in the manger came to redeem because the Father sent him to redeem. You know these words, right? For God so loved, he loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but instead have eternal life. Friends, that is God's plan of redemption, to bring life to death, to bring peace to chaos, to bring relationship to destruction. Are you with me? That's how much he loves us. That baby in the manger was so that you and I could be redeemed. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel. Let's never forget the cost of our redemption was a baby. It was the gift of a son. You with me? The price that was required, and that baby would grow up to be a man and give his life. Isaiah 45, turn to me and be saved. There's a great, clear picture of the gospel, the good news. And we can unpack what it means to turn. You got to turn away from whatever direction you're going. You got to turn a new way. You got to repent. You got to stop going the direction you're going. You got to take your eyes off whatever your eyes are on. And some of in this room, had our eyes on things this week that we shouldn't have had our eyes on. Take your eyes off of those things and fix your eyes on him, and you'll be saved. You'll be redeemed. And not just the new creation, But friends, this works on in day-to-day life. That you're saved from yourself. You're rescued from the road that you, as a follower of Jesus, are choosing to go down to. If you take your eyes off of that path and you fix them on Him, He will rescue you. Paul tells us that in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. For I am God. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. That's us. For I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn. He didn't swear on anything else. By myself I have sworn. Truth has gone from my mouth. Would you agree? The word of God, it's truth. A word that will not be revoked. It can't be overturned and He's not going to take it back. Every knee will bow. And every tongue will swear allegiance, will confess Jesus is Lord. The only question is, when will we do that? One day we will be forced to, because we will have no other choice when there He is in all His glory, and there is no mistaking who He is and who I am, and my sin and His mercy. I can't escape it, and I will be forced to bend the knee and confess, yes, You are God, and I am not. But in His grace, He gives us the opportunity right now, friends. We can bend the knee and we can confess. We can bow to the King of Kings in our hearts. And we'll find mercy. We'll find salvation. We'll find redemption. There it is. 4 seconds for the first awe. We had two babies born in our family this year. We have another one coming in the end of January. And there's something so joyful, so joyous about a child. And these are the best two kids in the whole world, just for the record, since I have control of the screen. There's such joy in the birth of a child. Jesus should not just stir in us, it should overwhelm us with joy that this baby in the manger came to redeem me, came to redeem you. If you're here and you've not put your faith in Jesus Christ, He came to redeem you. He's waiting with open arms for you to turn from whatever you're looking at, whatever direction you're going, wherever you're putting your faith, your trust. He's saying, let go of that, look away from that, and look to me. And if you do, I'll redeem you. I'll make you mine. I'll adopt you into my family. I'll do a work in you. There's a new creation that I'm ready to do. And talk about joy. All because of the baby in the manger. Friends, it is the grace of God that has appeared with salvation for all people. Can I please get an amen to that? Amen. It's the grace of God that has appeared with salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness, to turn away, say no to that, and worldly lust, and instead live in a sensible, righteous, godly way. Turn our eyes to Jesus and look to Him, and do it now in this life that He's given us, while we wait for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The baby is coming back. And when the baby comes back, he won't be a baby. He's going to have a sword. We know that much. And he's going to come and he's going to establish his rule on the throne of David. And we wait for that, do we not? If you don't wait for that, you could start today. You could turn your eyes, fix your eyes on him, and he would embrace you and welcome you into his family by faith. He will clean. You don't stop trying to figure out how to make your life what it needs to be before you come to him. Let him do that. Just by faith, say, yeah, I'm done with this, and now I'm going to follow you. And he'll redeem you. He'll restore you. He'll reveal to you. I pray that he's revealing right now the light, the truth, and what salvation is. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse us for himself, a people for his own possession, eager to do good works. And finally, the baby in the manger came to renew. There's a picture at the end of our text, and it goes on, and there's so much more in Isaiah. Man, we could spend 10 years, I think, in the book of Isaiah unpacking all that we are given, the revelation of who God is and his plan. There's this little picture at the end of our text, verse 10. Their compassionate one, capital O, who is that? That's Jesus. That's the anointed one, the promised one. It's also the good shepherd. And he paints this picture. The compassionate one will guide them and lead them to springs of water. The baby in the manger came to renew. I love this passage in Isaiah 43. You are my witnesses. This is the Lord's declaration. If you've come to know who that baby is and you're seeking to follow him as his disciple, and to live for him, then Acts 1:8, guess what? You've been recruited. It's on you and me to now do what? My servant, this is my declaration, and my servant whom I've chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. No God was formed before me, and there will be none after me. I'm Yahweh, and there's no other God but me. I alone declared, saved, and proclaimed, not some foreign God among you. So you are my witnesses. This is the Lord's declaration, and I am God. Jesus was the faithful servant. Hallelujah. Israel was intended to be a servant, that light, that witness. They're still working on it. God's still working on them. Who is the light today? Who is the faithful witness today? Who's the faithful servant today? Does anybody know? It's us. If you're his disciple, you've been adopted into his family, his command over you, go and make disciples, could be said this way. Everybody needs to know that I'm Yahweh. There's no other Savior but me. I alone declared, saved, and proclaimed. There is salvation found nowhere else. Oh, you people on the earth, man, you're like a bunch of ants in an anthill that got kicked, and you're running around like crazy trying to find salvation all over the place. When will we learn? There is no salvation, friends, apart from Jesus Christ. And that needs to be our life. This Christmas, that needs to be our life. This baby came to restore, this baby came to reveal, this baby came to redeem, and this baby came to renew. So today is the day for restoration. Again, I'll ask you to just make these personal as I wrap up. What needs to be restored in your life? Today's the day to experience revelation. What do you need to see? What do you need to know about who God is or who you are to him? Maybe you've stopped reading your Bible. Maybe you've not faithful coming together in moments like this for teaching and understanding. Maybe you're listening to the wrong radio stations or Spotify channels or whatever. Are you tracking with me? I feel like God has moved far away, and we know that if that's how we feel, it's not God that's moved far away. He is. That baby came so that we could see him and know who he is. And today is the day to be redeemed. I so loved Andy's prayer. Thank you, brother. If anybody in this room has not been redeemed, today is the day. Let's celebrate Christmas as a redeemed child of God. And I'm telling you, it'll be totally different. And today is the day to find renewal. He's a God of restoration. He's a God of revelation. He's a God of redemption. And he's a God of renewal. And that baby in the manger that we celebrate on Tuesday and Wednesday, is exactly that. That's God coming to restore. That's God coming to reveal. That's God coming to redeem. And that's God coming to renew what needs to be renewed. And all God's people said,
amen.
Oh, blesses my heart.